Hour number three kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three of the morning show. Saw a lot of my Braves fans freaking out yesterday, Bob. Give me the sports media take on what's going on with Bally Sports, because I saw that Comcast is basically seems to have dropped them. Is that what's happening there? They're doing the contract negotiations, and Bally doesn't seem to necessarily be positioning themselves in a position of strength, it feels like, just because I feel like, isn't Bally Sports kind of going away? Isn't that like,
well, yeah, they're
the rumors?
Yeah, so Bally is owned by a new group called Diamond Sports, and so they had a carriage agreement with Comcast. Now they've actually, in fairness to Bally / Diamond, they have re-upped with Charter, they've re-upped with DirecTV, so they have new carriage agreements in place with those entities, but they didn't with Comcast, and Comcast is one of the 400-pound gorillas in this space still, and this is what happens. I mean, I've sat in these kind of meetings in the past, and you have both sides. You know, you've got the content creator, in this case that's Bally, who's producing the games. You know, they have to pay a very, very healthy rights fee, number two Major League Baseball, for example, to have the rights for those games. So then they're asking for this amount of money from the carrier. In this case, it's Comcast. Comcast is saying, well, they're always going in when their job is to spend as little as possible. And now they feel like they've got Bally over a barrel because they've filed for bankruptcy. There's all sorts of things swirling around them. There's talk of they may be an acquisition target by Amazon at some point. So what's happening is Comcast is saying, you're not that important, and we're going to, unless you accept our bid of what we'll pay you in a new deal, we're going to take you off. Bally's saying no. The problem is the loser in this obviously is the consumer.
Sure.
Because
I still remember losing out on the first week of college football because Spectrum and ESPN were arguing.
Yeah, and you typically don't see any discounting go into your cable bill or, either. That's the
they
other
gave
problem.
Me, I think, $15 off for the month for losing out on a week and a half of ESPN, I think, is what they gave me.
Yeah.
But nothing long term. The bill actually got more expensive. It went from like $170, $180 for internet and TV up to like $212 now. So like I keep wanting to actually just finally cut the cord and get rid of them, but I just never actually go through with it. But like I was very ready to do it during football season, but then they got the ESPN back on. I was like, that's too much of a hassle. I'll wait.
Yeah. I've had a couple people asking me, like, how long do you think this will last? And it really depends. I mean, in some instances, because I used to go through this with HGTV and Food Network, and it would be funny. We'd get those resolved, where we actually decided to step off of a carrier, whether it was a Comcast or someone else. We made the decision of, no, we're not accepting your bid. You're not taking us off. We're not going to be there. We're pulling our signal. It didn't last very long there. There was only a couple of weeks. Sports is very different. It can drag out for a long time.
Now, were you in those negotiations, like handling those?
I have been before. Yeah. Not in the deepest parts of the negotiations, but I've been in there before where you're in there talking about what your service offers. And it's pretty nasty, man. I remember one time, and this was back when I was running some networks, and it's a tough blow, but it's just part of the gamesmanship. There was a Comcast, and it was Comcast. It was one of their execs who buys the programming, so to speak, and just said, I'm watching your network. It's not very good.
I was going to ask if they ever just pulled out. You suck. We don't really need you. Now, you can't really do that to ESPN.
Yeah.
But you can do it to maybe even Bally Sports. Like, hey, you got the Braves. Basketball season's over. But, like, outside of that, we don't need to watch your fishing show. We're good.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of that would happen. And then we'd counter with, okay, well, we know we have a passionate consumer base, and you're underestimating the magnitude of what that means, and you're also underestimating what we'll do. I mean, it's like Russian roulette to a degree. Both sides are playing that game.
Now, who usually wins?
Because
I know the consumer loses. I know that when the rates go up, the prices go up. Like I know that we're never getting discounts. I know that whenever a station gets dropped, they don't change the monthly bill and make it lower in the long term. So I know who the losers are, but who usually wins in the negotiation?
Usually it's the distributor. And
so by distributor, you mean the Comcast?
This case, it would be Comcast. Okay. You know, another great example of that is, and this has gone on for over a year now, is I'm a YouTube TV customer, and they dropped MLB Network a while back. It was over a year ago, and they've never reinstated it. And they don't really care what the consumer thinks. They were like, no, you're asking for too much money. We're not going to pay it. And eventually, I think they'll come back. But again, it's been a year since they've reached any sort of terms, and they haven't yet.
Now, does ESPN win these arguments? Like, do they win? Because I feel like they're a powerful enough brand where maybe the sports fan is so crazy, and they do have their already kind of their over-the-top offering in place, where maybe the Comcast of the world actually have to kind of bend the knee there. Because that's the way I've always viewed it, is like, you can't have a cable company without ESPN, because that's kind of the only reason to still have cable for a lot of people is the live sports.
No, I agree, and I think they do win, and they do stand the chance in this new future if they really decide to try to break off and do their own, not this other sports streaming super team thing we talk about. If ESPN does their own streaming service that is exclusively theirs, they could win even more, because what they're talking about doing is, again, it's almost like what we talk about with the SEC and the Big Ten breaking off from the NCAA. It's the same kind of thing that they're talking about doing as far as breaking away from linear cable and satellite.
This may be a really dumb question, but would the Comcast, the Spectrum of the worlds that also provide internet, is there ever a future where if ESPN does just completely break free, that, to say, Comcast Internet could ban carrying ESPN services? Like, I don't know how that works. Because, I mean, like, I've always wondered that. Like,
Trump card.
Well, I've always wondered, like, if I cancel Spectrum's TV, but I keep the Internet, like, are they going to be mad? Like, are they going to, like, throttle me? Like, what's going to happen there? Because, like, the Internet bundle is kind of important, but if you just remove the cable out of it and it's just the Internet, like, how do they react? So I'm wondering from a different perspective, if Comcast is like, you think you have the power, ESPN, you're just going to be internet only. Well, how about these places with Comcast internet? We're not going to let you be on there. We hold the actual Trump card.
So like an internet blackout.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, is that ever possible? I feel like that would be, a PR nightmare, but like it does. I wonder if it's the ultimate Trump card.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know if they can even do that, and I don't mean legally. I don't know if they can technically do
that.
And
if you can block certain IPs.
Yeah,
you can.
The term's called geofencing. You can do that, like in territories. It's usually about international versus domestic and things like that.
Blackouts, like where you're at if you're watching games.
Right, that'd be interesting for sure.
It just feels like they would have the ultimate Trump cards. Like, yeah, you can do your little streaming, that's all cool, but like they're not going to be able to watch it on their TV or on our internet, damn it. Absolutely not. But hope they got LTE. Hope they got 5G.
I got to hand it to Comcast, though. The other thing, I'm not sure I'd go out and buy one, but they partnered with somebody. They're manufacturing Xfinity TVs now.
Really?
So they can get into the game of, if you have a smart TV and, point being, they recognize you can do this without cable. So we need to get into that business then and manufacture these TVs where the apps are built in already.
So essentially you don't have to worry and mess with the box.
Yeah.
You kind of cut out the equipment.
Yeah, exactly. And it's embedded with their, I think it's called, I don't know, Xfinity Plex, or I don't know what it's called, but they have their own kind of streaming box that's similar to Roku already, and it would be built into the TV.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it's just starting to come out, and I forget which manufacturer. I want to say maybe Vizio is who they partnered with. But
so circling back around to Bally Sports, like, is it dying? Is it dead? Is it going away? Because I'm unsure of what the future for it is. Like, I know what the Hawks, they were talking about. Some of that stuff's all going to get bought up by Amazon, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. They need a lifeline thrown to them, basically, because they're they have significant financial hardship, part of that was it used to be managed by Sinclair Broadcasting, which was probably not the right match for a business as high stakes as regional sports networks are. The other thing that's interesting, and this is all kind of coming full circle, is more and more we're seeing it happen. It's not happening with Major League Baseball yet, but there's this whole notion of getting rights for sporting events back on local TV stations, or TV station groups. I talked about it last week with the WNBA that Tegna, who owns WBIR here locally, but owns a ton of stations across the country, they're starting to buy into WNBA games that they can, you know, that they can air on their local network of, you know, their network of local stations around the country. So that then you start, you know, it's so funny because all that stuff used to go the way of cable, and now some of it's coming back. We're seeing it in other markets with, like, the NHL out in Las Vegas and Phoenix. Well, they're moving out of Phoenix, but I think the Suns are on local, have a lot of games on local TV there, too.
So I think they had all their games on local TV.
So it's really getting fragmented back to, again, back to kind of olden times. And, you know, so, you know, keep hanging on to your TV. This, you know, some of this stuff you're not going to be able to necessarily stream, but I think there's going to be more and more of that, and it's confusing as hell because it's scattered everywhere. But back to your question about Bally, Amazon seems like the likely suitor. They have a ton of money. They could overspend for it if they need to, and then they can, you know, they're making it no secret. We've talked about their interest in the NBA. They're already doing it with the NFL. They want to get into sports and get in deep.
You're talking about keeping your TV. Sam, how many physical copies of DVDs do you have?
In Knoxville with me right now?
No, you could say back at home. How many do you consider? Like, if I said, what's your movie collection? Like, how many DVDs do you own?
I think I'd be confident in saying I got at least 15.
Okay. Bob, what about you?
I got rid of a lot of them, but I'm down to it. It's funny. I was just doing some house cleaning on Sunday, and I saw them in a cabinet. I got maybe 20.
Okay. Got a lot of my favorite movies. I used to love going to McKay's and just walking around and like, oh, here's one of my movies I love. I'm going to buy this, you know, $3 or whatever. So I probably got like 40. But like, I haven't bought a new one. Like, the newest movie I probably have is like 2008, 9. I used to, like, you know, want to have like a little bit of a DVD collection, kind of like a book collection. But like, you know, I don't have a DVD player hooked up. But I do wonder, like, you know, some of these favorite movies, like, one day they're just not going to be on streaming, and you're just not going to have access to it. And, like, the DVD companies are kind of stopped producing, you know, mass DVDs, and you're not going to have a copy. Like, there's going to be so much art that we actually lose. Like, I was reading about that months ago with these TV shows and these, like, I think it was in particular, like, when Warner Brothers was dropping, like, Batgirl and, like, all those things, all those, like, movies that they kind of canceled and, like, got off the programming, and people are like, well, someone worked years on that, and like, it's just never going to get released, and it's gone. And like, all this stuff that like people like and people care about, like, it's just gone. They didn't do any physical copies of it, and like, if it's not on streaming, it just doesn't exist. And that concept to me was kind of crazy. Whenever you're talking about keep your TV, it made me think of the DVDs, because
I think CDs make a comeback one day, like people going to buy like vinyl records and stuff like that.
I mean vinyl records, I got a lot of people in my life that buy vinyl records of things, and I don't do that. As far as buying CDs, I mean, I haven't bought a physical CD since, I mean, maybe like Kanye West dropped Yeezus like in 2012. Like, that might have been the last CD I bought, maybe. And that was like kind of a meta commentary on it. It was like the CD was just a blank disc. There was no booklet or nothing. It was just a case and a CD because, you know, obviously, like, CDs aren't important anymore. I did see in Target. I was in Target recently, and, like, Taylor Swift did have, like, physical CDs there. And I know every time I'm in Cracker Barrel, they got all those CDs there. But, like, outside of that, like, I don't know any people actually buying just CDs anymore. I haven't. I haven't bought an album since Kanye, and, like, maybe I digitally bought, like, a Mac Miller CD, like, in 2014. Just, like, hey, I support him. Here's my $10. But, like, outside of that, I just stream music, and I like supporting the artists I like. So, like, that's why I go to so many concerts. So, like, that's kind of me buying the album. As far as I'm concerned, it's like, here's, you know, $100 for a concert.
Yeah, because they're not making money on the streaming.
Right? Not really. That's what they always, you know, complain about. But yeah, I haven't bought a physical CD.
You know, you reminded me of something I did. This is back to DVDs. Because I had a bunch. I had a lot more than 20, and I decided I want to get rid of them in the way, but I wanted to keep some of the movies, so I went to this service at the time was called Vudu, V-U-D-U, and now it's Fandango. But by all accounts, it looks like I was able to upload those all to the cloud.
So kind of like an iTunes library type thing?
Exactly, and then I could just get rid of them, you know, and they're still there, you know. But what's crazy is I do all that, and I've maybe watched one of those movies.
I use Plex a lot, which is similar. You can upload, like, to Plex and have, like, your catalog there. But, like, you know, if I'm ever in a place, A, where I don't have internet, or B, that goes away, like, there's going to be so many movies that I just no longer have. I don't think I've ever bought a Blu-ray. That's how long it's been since I've bought, like, an actual physical DVD. I don't think I ever bought one since they upgraded the technology.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever bought a Blu-ray. I've rented one from, like, Redbox before.
And it's crazy. Now, if you go to McKay's and you go to... I offloaded all my CDs a while back. Almost all of them. And they were like, yeah, you can leave them here. We're not giving you any... You know, they gave me like $3 or something. I mean, it was nothing. It's just... The stuff's just not valuable.
It's essentially like dropping your clothes off at Goodwill. And like, hey, here you go. Like, it's really just us doing you a favor of getting it out of your house.
Exactly.
We got the space.
Yeah.
I can't imagine buying a CD from McKay's. That'd be too scary in terms of like it being scratched up and everything. Like the DVD kind of does that too, but I don't know. I don't browse the CDs near as much as I do the movies. Maybe it's just because Spotify is everything's on there. I don't know.
Well, if you're, you know, I was helping out Russell with the drive yesterday when we were out in Sevierville, and he's a big Braves fan, and he's a Comcast customer, and he is frustrated. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, I got the, because YouTube TV, as I mentioned, doesn't have MLB Network, I miss my baseball, and so I've subscribed to the MLB.TV app, which is fantastic, it's really great, but they still black out Braves games, so, I mean, you really are, and if you're like a hardcore Braves fan and you're a Comcast customer, you need to listen to the games on Fan Run Radio. I mean, it's hard to... have access to them, and again, I don't know that situation, that stalemate could end in a week or two, but it very well may not. And if it doesn't resolve in a couple of weeks, then it could go on for a very long time. There's no in between.
StreamEast.io, the illegal streams. That's what you'll have to do. The illegal streams. I don't know if I liked. It feels like a bad decision, but also I get it. Like at 2 o'clock yesterday, Bally Sports Help. We are pleased to announce that we have just reached a multi-year distribution agreement with DirecTV to continue carriage of Bally Sports. Combined with the recently announced multi-year renewals with Charter and Cox Communications, customers will have continued access to live, local MLB and NBA and NHL games.
They're just trying to piss off the Comcast customers.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not going to go well for them. Like, there's going to be, like, the reply is like, get back on YouTube TV, you bleeps. Don't care. Nobody has DirecTV anymore. To which the DirecTV bot replies to, hi there, we value your feedback. Don't care, sign with Xfinity. Just sell to Amazon already. What about Xfinity? When exactly would you say was the moment you decided to be this terrible? Question from the fan. So like, yeah, like, tweeting that out like, ha ha ha, here you go. Here you go, Xfinity, we're going to stick it to you. But then the replies are not going to ever side with either entity. Like, it's just going to be like, all they want is like, if Comcast tweeted that, they'd say the same thing. Like, you're never going to win whenever people just don't have their content. They're just going to be mad at both parties.
Yeah, yeah. But what Bally's trying to do is, you know, it's again, common ploy is like, if you love your Braves and you love Bally, you
switch.
You got to either switch or you got to speak up and be vocal with Comcast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. Whenever I told you I missed out on college football the first week, I wasn't really mad at ESPN. I was mad at Spectrum. So, I mean,
yeah.
I guess Bally kind of knows that. Hey, you love your Braves. You want to watch Ronald Acuna strike out? Sign up. Sorry, that was mean.
That was mean.
I know.
He had a good game.
He had a good game yesterday. Yeah, he did. He did. All right. Thank you for the information, Bob. Always appreciate sitting with a sports media expert and becoming smarter at those things. We'll switch gears. Stick with us. Sam, I'm a little mad at you. I know you're training a new fourth over there. Shout out to Jace. Doing a good job. I'm a little mad at you. You've been a little sloppy. Back-to-back Smokies ads, you know, all that, whatever, it happens. The sports update, I don't know if that's your fault or whatever. But you also, in your headlines, you left out something pretty big that I just now saw from last night. Is it true that Tim Howard's daughter, U.S. men's national team goalie, you know, keeper from all those years, his daughter has committed to play at Tennessee?
I did not see that, actually.
Tim Howard's daughter, Allie Howard, is playing college. I know, that's really cool.
She a goalie?
No, she's a striker.
Oh. That's not as cool anymore, I'm not going to lie.
I don't really care what she plays. I mean, yeah, would it be cooler if she was a dominant goalie? Sure, like, yeah, do they call them goalies or keepers? Is goalie like a Little League name? Is goalie a hockey? Like, I don't know. I'm just wondering. I don't want people to be yelling at us, the soccer snobs. Goalkeeper?
Yeah,
keeper?
You can say keeper.
I usually go keeper.
Sure.
I feel like goalie is like the little fat kid from the big green or whatever. A little fat kid from Sandlot. He had a nice role for a little bit and just being the fat kid in sports movies, but I was actually pretty jealous of him growing up. But, yeah, I don't care what she plays. I just think it's cool that Tim Howard's now, like, of all.
Yeah, I think that's cool, too.
You know, we got Manny Ramirez.
I was gonna say, we'll get Manny Ramirez and Tim Howard together for a weekend.
Tim Howard. We had, for a while, Richard Seymour's son, too, right? The Patriots safety, was it his son here on the football team for a little bit? Might still be here. I'm not sure,
to be honest with you.
No, not Richard Seymour. I'm Rodney Harrison.
Oh, yeah. Christian Harrison's still on the team.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison. Sorry. No, different Patriot.
100%.
Yeah.
He's still playing.
Yeah. You got
Jimmy Dyke's daughter's coming to
Jimmy
cheer
Dyke's
here.
Daughter? Yeah. Hell, the list goes on and on.
Everything's cool, right?
Yeah.
It's us.
I saw that big head Peyton Manning sitting courtside in game 5 for the Nuggets game with I assume his boy. His kid's growing up. Kid's going to be here before we know it. Old Marshall.
Tennessee golf, too, while we're at it with some Tennessee news. They got their highest ever NCAA regional seed. They got a 1 seed.
Tennessee golf?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does that work? Like a 1 seed, what does that mean?
Like they've got different.
So it goes head-to-head, you're just playing like a team competition? Because like,
yeah,
I got to be honest, with the golf stuff, I kind of always just assume it's all like individual, like you're just trying to crown champions.
Individual.
So teams just like, is it match play? Are they doing match play? Kind of like Ryder Cup styles?
Yeah, mostly. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just like regionals, kind of like baseball.
Sure,
where like there's
sure.
three or four in a, you know, in a certain host location. So we're going down to Austin. We're the number one seed in the Austin regional.
We're going to play like 4 different matches over 4 days? Or
yeah, I guess you get matched up with a different school kind of, and then you keep going through there, and then you know, you'll advance into the NCAA tournament where then you'll play different. You know, it's a lot kind of like the Ryder Cup where you're playing some different formats. And
do we care about the team overall championship there? I mean, it'd be nice to win. Sure, like, I'll always take championships, but like I always just think of golf as an individual sport.
They're doing really well as a team this year. I think this has been one of their better years.
And that was another best player.
Do what?
That was another best player, right?
Yeah,
they
don't have Surratt now.
Their best player went pro.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine they had a professional on the team.
Yep.
Shout out to the golf coach.
Yeah.
Apparently doing a good job.
No, he's a beast.
Apparently doing a really good job. Thought you were going to tell me that Charlie Woods was thinking about coming here or something since we were on the...
It's not off the table.
Since we're on the topic of famous dads. But yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. Tim Howard. Big keeper. From most of my life. Although this sweater he's wearing, I don't know how I feel about it in this picture. I guess it's a Louis Vuitton sweater. I don't know. It's LV, which, I mean, could stand for Lady Vols, and it's orange, but wrong orange. Wrong orange, Tim. Wrong orange.
First day.
It's true. We'll give him time.
Yeah.
We'll give him time. I imagine they'll show up at some games and stuff. I don't know. It's kind of cool, I think. That was kind of cool. We were talking about basketball and ADU and Arkansas and Arizona and a guy that I hate. This kind of ties into the villain conversation. A guy that I've hated for the last couple of years, Kirk Creasa, he ends up at Kentucky, which is good. It's good. I don't want Mark Pope to have this scrappy little likable team where Kentucky gets to be underdogs and gets to be likable. No, give him a villain right there as the head of the snake, a point guard that we hate. It'll really help ramp up Kentucky's unlikability.
Agreed. I almost forgot about him because this year, did he get suspended or something at West Virginia? Something happened, or was he just hurt?
I think what happened was Bob Huggins was fired and no one cared about West Virginia because they stuck.
Yeah.
I don't know about his actual stats or anything, but like you said, I did not know he was still in college. I would assume he had like been gone for a couple years because I haven't thought about him.
I thought it was something at the start of the year where he almost – transferred out of West Virginia, and then,
but he ended up staying,
ended
right?
Up staying, yeah.
Because he played 23 games this year, 23 games, 11 points, 42% from three. Like I don't know.
I mean, he was effective on those Arizona teams. I mean, he's hated him. He is the epitome of you like him if he's on your team and everybody else hates you.
Charlie and I got into it with some Arizona fans down in Tucson after Kirk Creasa beat us. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure they loved him.
Yeah.
Until I think he was kind of the reason they lost in the tournament that year. But, I mean, he played at the end of the season, so if he did get hurt, it was early on. Like, his first game was December 16th and played on through March and everything. So I don't know why he only had, 23 games. I don't really understand where that happened at. But, you know, he was playing at the end of the year. So I'm glad he's the head of the snake. It ramps up my Kentucky hate.
Yes. No, I'm with you. So here's a question as we talk about villains. How do you feel about I believe Arkansas will be coming here. Is Jonas a villain now?
Oh, yeah. Tennessee was, yes. Like, so this list, whenever we're talking about that in hour one, I'm talking about just sports in general overall.
Yeah.
I think, you know, rivalries happen every school. Every school is going to have guys they hate. That's what I was saying, you know, with Nate Oates. But, like, I don't think Jonas Adu's a villain in college basketball. But I definitely think he's probably – is he enemy number one right now when it comes to basketball at least? Like, because, I mean, like, Zach Edey's gone. Do we have an op bigger than him? I guess Nate Oates probably number one if you're Tennessee – if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, who do you want to root against the most next year? It's probably still Nate Oates. I think people are going to be a little torn between Calipari and Kentucky because I think you've hated Calipari for so long that maybe you still hate him. And now, like, his leading center is going to be a guy that turned his back and made Rick Barnes mad. So, yeah, I mean, I think Adu is going to be up at the top of that list in terms of players for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I put out the prompt on X asking people for submissions for biggest sports villains. Got one right against saying in the NBA it's actually Grant Williams. We can't say that as a friend. He's a friend of the program. He woke up and immediately hopped on the air with us, as you could hear through the yawns. So he's a friend of the program. I can't co-sign that. But I do think he has a negative reputation in the NBA, and people don't like him. I just don't know if he's relevant enough to be a villain. You have to be relevant, too. If he was still on the Celtics team and kind of giving them something to dislike as they're on the way to a championship, then maybe. If he was still on this Dallas team, maybe. But in Charlotte, he's kind of irrelevant right now. Bryce Harper? I find Bryce Harper to be cool.
I like Bryce Harper.
I think Bryce Harper's actually done a 180. Like, I don't view him as a villain at all. Maybe if you're a Braves fan and you hate the Phillies, okay, sure. But I think in baseball in general, like, I think he's the coolest player.
A couple years ago, I feel like he was universally hated. And it's definitely flipped on its head since then.
I think Philadelphia fixed that. I think the enthusiasm he plays and, like, the clutch moments and that fan base kind of, like him earning that money. Like, he doesn't feel like he's overpaid. When he got that deal from them, it's like, oh, my God, you're paying this much for him. This guy's never won anything. The Nationals won without him. But I think since he's been there, like, he's just been a monster. And I think he's came up clutch in the playoffs, and yeah, I just think he's kind of cool. So I'm going to say no there.
This is one I think, if I can interject, jumping to college football.
Hop in. Water's fine.
Eli Drinkwitz.
I think it's a submission for Eli Drinkwitz saying that he's that, and maybe that would be closer to nationally because he is kind of an antagonist to a lot of fan bases. You know, he poked at Ohio State. He poked at Michigan.
Yeah. It's a bummer we don't play them regularly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take you a couple years to get your lick back. You're never going to get to play them, most likely, with Nico as your quarterback. Your boy George McIntyre is going to have to get the revenge in a couple years. And who knows if Josh Heupel and Eli Drinkwitz are still at their schools. Like, I think Josh will be. I feel pretty good that he'll be here in 3 years. I don't see him really leaving. But Eli, what's your level of confidence he'll be at Missouri in 3 years? I don't think he'll get fired, but I can see him taking a bigger job. And maybe Missouri will keep, you know, giving him resources and NIL and doing that, and maybe he'll stay. But, like, I wouldn't be – I'd put it 50-50 at best that Eli's there in 3 years. He might never get to play him again. He is annoying, though. He's trying to be like the Steve Spurrier. Oh, I got personality, and I can coach offense, and I'm going to say what other people won't say. I'm so crazy.
Yeah, he drops those – jokes and stuff, and then it's always kind of like that whole I'm kidding, you know, and it's like, no, you're not, you know,
he's doing a damn comedy routine.
Yeah,
I will say it hits better when you go 11-2 though, Eli.
Right,
it was kind of embarrassing when you're going 7-6, whatever, 5-7. You know, if you can go 11-2, you could talk that talk. See, that I'll at least give him credit for that. Deion Sanders, he hasn't done nothing in college football other than beat TCU, a TCU team that was pretty mid. You won some games at Jackson State. Okay. Now, I know you're a great player, obviously. I'm not taking away from that. But in terms of coaching, you ain't really proven nothing yet. Eli was talking before he won, too. He just kind of followed it up fine with 11-2. So maybe Deion's like, hey, give me 5 years. I'll get to 11-2, too. Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. It's kind of come and gone, but that would be a good one.
I was going to say, I feel like he, on the Memphis teams, yeah. If the Rockets get back in the playoffs, yeah. But it's kind of hard to be that whenever you're on a 500 team. O.J. Simpson, great submission. I was going to say RIP, but can I say that to a guy that maybe double murdered a couple people? Can you say that you want somebody to rest in peace? If you're a bad person, do people still want you to rest in peace? Or do you want people like to toss and turn in their grave? Like, do you want them to be distressed?
Depends on, you know, how you feel in your heart, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at a certain point, you're supposed to let bygones be bygones. And, hey, you know, he's dead, so, like, he lost the battle. Now he can rest. I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about OJ and resting in peace. I don't know. And also, he was found not guilty, which doesn't mean innocent, Sam. Just means not guilty. Mm-hmm. They just had too much evidence to convict him. They had so much evidence that it looked like they planted the evidence on him.
He's resting somewhere for sure.
He is dead. He is dead. I'll give him that.
Here's one. I felt Angel Reese was kind of in villain category.
For sure. I think she's tried to make a face turn at the end of the season, at the end of her career, and talked and cried and talked about the pressure. And by all accounts, people around women's basketball have said she's trying to take a different approach in the W. Like, she's trying to go the W seems the WNBA. I'm not. That's what they call it.
They do say it all the time. I can't say it.
They tried to drop the NBA a part of it, just become the W. I'm sorry. That didn't feel right. In the WNBA, they say she's tried to, like, kind of become a nice person and kind of be liked, and she's tired of being booed. But she had it for a couple years. You're right.
Oh, yeah. She earned it.
Who knows? Maybe Caitlin Clark gets here in a couple years. Maybe she turns into a villain. Dan Hurley? What do you think? Dan Hurley? He's still kind of seen as, like him. He's kind of still seen as a hero, I think. Against the crooked establishment, it's almost like he is, like, taking down college basketball. Through sheer determination.
He really bothered me in that national championship game, but I can't help but think that was also because their team was beating Purdue's ass, too.
I mean, I have absolutely no problem with him. I love him, honestly.
What if he wins another one?
I'm still good with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
I'm still good with him.
He's got the right level of brashness, like, where it's not, and it's earned, too. Like, if you are whipping people's ass the way he has been, you're allowed to kind of be brash.
Like, it almost sucked when Saban just built the dynasty and was so, like, subdued, and then, you know, goes crazy like in practice. Like, I just love a guy who's building a dynasty and is just a psychotic competitor 24/7.
See, with Saban, he wasn't brash enough.
Yeah,
like when he was brash, it was almost like, see, I think with Hurley, my distinction would be with Hurley, I think he's that guy 24/7. But, like, Saban kind of stays subdued CEO until Maria Taylor's asking him about the quarterbacks. He's yelling at her.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you bullying this woman? Like, exactly. But if Dan Hurley did that, be like, hey, this is Dan Hurley. Like, right. He's a psycho. Like,
he's authentic 24/7.
Yeah, Saban was trying to straddle the line. Like, I do think he had the Dan Hurley in him, but he was trying to be a little bit more calm. But then, yeah, he just lashes out at Maria Taylor. I ain't gonna, so quit asking.
Hurley just doesn't care. As long as he's just going to do it.
He keeps it real. I just saw, it might have been yesterday, where he came out again and said about Kentucky. He was like, oh, we talked. He goes, there was no way I was going to Kentucky. I mean, he just flat out said it.
And those damn hillbillies down there in the coal mines, he might as well just cut a promo. I'm not going down. I'm not living in Lexington. Absolutely not.
Yeah. He even said, you know, and I think he said this on McAfee a little earlier, a couple weeks ago, where he was like, yeah, you know, you listen, and maybe you can make things a little better for, you know, basically saying I use them, you know, because you can make things better for the rest of your staff. And, you know,
he's got, and this might not hit for either one of you, but he's got a little Stone Cold Steve Austin in him from back in wrestling. Like, he was always the good guy, but he was the one that was like, yes, beating up his boss and drinking beer and doing all these cool things. Probably shouldn't be a good guy, probably shouldn't be a hero because he is a jerk, but you're like, hey, he's wrecking the establishment, so he's our guy. That's kind of how I feel about Dan Hurley. Gino, I assume REM and not Gino Smith. Gino, he's kind of, I don't want to say out of sight, out of mind, because he's still relevant, but like he just hasn't won recently. But I'll give Gino credit.
Maybe he should change his name to Gene.
I was going
to
say Gene might be a villain.
Will Wade will catapult back to the top of the list if he lands another major job.
100%.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
DJ Dirk and Hugh Freeze.
What about Musselman?
I don't know. I'm going to say no to that, but I'm open to that being in consideration.
Do people hate Patino now?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think he's almost started to become more likable.
Yeah, he's like a comeback story.
Yeah.
To me, like in college basketball, the coaches I dislike, I don't like Nate Oates. I don't like Tom Izzo. I find him to be such a curmudgeon. And also, like, if you look into that Michigan State sexual misconduct stuff, there's some questionable stuff with the basketball team that he's kind of attached to, too. And maybe he's got a little Machiavellian in him or win-at-all-costs type of thing. Like, I don't really like Izzo. He complains too much. He's a curmudgeon. I don't like him. He's my second most disliked college basketball figure. Travis Kelce. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Somebody lobbed that in?
Said his first Super Bowl speech alone. Where he's, I guess, cutting a promo. I have no problem with him. UJ football players behind the wheel.
Yeah. Definitely dangerous. I don't know about a villain.
Spencer, yes. Kim Mulkey.
Oh, yeah.
Kim Mulkey's a good one.
I had nightmares from that picture last night.
Oh, my gosh. I showed that to my wife. I was like, can you tell me who this is? I just took the picture, and she was like, I can't. And I told her. She was like, oh, my God.
There's a part of me that feels bad because, like, hey, yeah, women don't always wear makeup and they look like regular people. And, like, hey, we're judging women for when they look normal and all that. But on the other hand, she looked like the leprechaun. So it's like,
she looks freaky.
She looks like the Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt Keeper. She looked awful. And if I was her, I would not go out like that. I would make sure I was done up. I see why she dresses up so much. She's hiding. But there was a part of me that felt bad for everyone roasting her, but at the same time,
as you sent out a tweet about it.
Well, I was gonna say I felt a little bit bad. Actually, as I was sending on that, I was like, ah, it's kind of mean, but I was like, I gotta do it. This is what she looks like. The Astros, yeah, but I almost feel like they had the redemption arc that we talk about.
Yeah,
like Altuve just turning back into a monster and them winning that. They won the World Series 2 years ago, right? Like them winning a World Series without the cheating, it was almost like redemption for them. Point being, we got through this whole list and not one person submitted really any NFL quarterbacks and no real NFL players other than Travis Kelce. I think that league's got a little bit of a problem in terms of there needs to be somebody to root against. I don't think they have that.
That's what I was saying. We need some divas.
You know, you're right about that. I don't know about just in the wide receiver position, but like there needs to be some foils, some bad guys.
I was thinking back while you said that to quarterbacks. One of the few I can remember is, well, you mentioned Brady earlier, but that's because he was so good. Jay Cutler was kind of villainy just because he just acted so aloof and, you know, trash talking and everything else.
Phillip Rivers kind of fit that bill too, yeah. I thought, but this is mostly just their rivalry together.
Could we just say Caleb Williams now? He's kind of hated.
Yeah. I mean, if Caleb Williams is as good as he's supposed to be 3 years from now, everyone's going to hate them.
Yeah.
Like, I think right now, like, they're still kind of in the honeymoon phase of, like, I think kind of like I talked about with the Knicks and the Lakers. I think the Bears kind of fit that mold, too. Like, we want them to be good. I think football's better if the Packers-Bears rivalry matters. I think people want to see the Bears be good. But, yeah, like, the moment they're good, people are going to turn on them for sure. For sure. For sure.
Is Russell Wilson?
He was somebody we laughed at.
I think he's more like a goober.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a cornball.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's like people are like coming to their TV to watch and hate him.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about Brady and yeah, Brady's greatness was a part of it, but also like Brady had enough cheating on top of it, or tied to the cheating. You know, if Belichick also being a cold figure and like he's gone too. Like people still enjoyed watching him lose, but like people still like Mahomes. And if you don't like Mahomes, you can't really hate Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You can't really hate Andy Reid. I'll take some of those nuggies. You can't really hate him. So, like, I'd like to turn on Mahomes. I'd like to get that going, but maybe we just have to settle because Saban's gone now, too. You came and root against him. He would fit this. A villain out of respect.
It's like
Georgia has to be that now. Georgia and I guess Deion.
Could your spouse be a villain? Because Mahomes' wife.
Oh, Nah, I've done a 180. She's done a face turn. I'm a big Brittany Mahomes fan.
Really?
Yeah. She had a great glow up this year. Teaming up with Taylor, distancing herself from Jackson. I think that was the best thing, is she finally realized it finally seemed like she had had enough of Jackson Mahomes too. And then I got to be honest, she dropped those pictures of her as a redhead, and she did it for me. She's skyrocketed to the top of my lust list too. I think Brittany Mahomes is a very, very sexy woman. I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago.
I'm on the complete opposite end. When she started, like, it's almost desperate how much she's just trying to cling on to Taylor Swift.
I disagree. That's her domain. Taylor was trying to seek her approval. No. That's her. No, 100%. When Taylor first came around, she was the aw shucks girl, and the other moms or wives were trying to show her, here's how you watch football. Here's how you become a football girlfriend or wife.
You don't think Taylor Swift had watched a football game before she started dating Travis Kelce?
Honestly, I would probably say fewer than two. Like, I thought of, like, maybe going to the high school game, although, you know, she says she was in the bleachers. I don't know if she was actually in the bleachers. In the video, she was at a basketball game. But, like, I don't think she was putting on the NFL at all. I really don't think she was a football fan at all. So, like, I do think that was her turf. Like, I gave Brittany a pass for that. And then Taylor was, you know, gracious in terms of, like, bringing them out and, like, taking them out in the town and stuff. Like, I think that was just them becoming friends.
Yeah, because she's like one of those little fish on the side of the tank that's just sucking the life out of it.
I don't know, man. I don't feel like Brittany tried to ride in Taylor's wake in terms of, like, getting fame and stuff. I don't feel like she was, like, really trying to, like, be buddy-buddy outside of, like, the games and, like, you know, the Chiefs events and stuff. I don't think she was trying to launch anything around it.
Just looked like every cutback it was, like, she's all over Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift's like, you know, like, get off me. Kind of like, yeah, it's a touchdown. Cool.
If anything, I thought Taylor had pick me energy up there in the suite, not Brittany. I've done a 180. I'm a big Brittany fan. I'm a big Brittany fan. Did you see those pictures of her as a redhead when she did the photo shoot?
I did not.
Well, yeah, that's why you guys aren't as big of a fan as I am. See if I can find them. Last call on the other side is the morning show on Fan Run Radio. All right, last call here on the program. Let's play a little What Were You Thinking, Bob? Who are you taking to task?
I'm taking Dave and Buster's to task.
Oh, boo.
Whoa, whoa.
Boo, Bob. Boo. That's
all right. Yeah, you guys might like this. I just think it's, you know, I'm thinking from the perspective that you take, you know, families take their kids there. And, I mean, for adults, it's fun and everything else. Dave and Buster's is going to be allowing, get ready for this, customers to actually place bets on arcade games.
I'm curious, so 18 and up, yes. I saw that disclaimer, 18 and up, so they're not going to let your kids go in there and gamble.
No,
Which, by the way, Dave and Buster's is like a place for kids anyways, right? Like, take them to Chuck E. Cheese. Mm-hmm. Dave & Buster's feels like an adult place. No,
I'm not talking about tiny kids, but, you know, 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's none ever close to where I grew up. But, like, is that a place you take 10-year-olds? Like,
I've seen them when I've been to one.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't been to one since I was 10, to be honest with you.
Okay, I was going
to
say, I've only been to Dave & Buster's.
It used to be a hell of a time.
I've only been to Dave & Buster's once, and, like, I was old enough, and I was there. You know, we went drinking and did something. Like, but I've only been to actual Dave & Buster's, I think, once. So I guess I kind of thought it was an older place.
I think they're not doing enough. They should be able to, like, broadcast the games that are being played around the place, and you can bet on somebody else's game.
Well, see, then you got to get into the match-fixing aspect of it and people taking a dive and everything. I mean, so, like, are they doing anything special with this now that you can bet up to – it said $5. I don't know if there's going to be a max or whatever. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's going to be a max. All the stories I saw say you can bet $5. But, like, are you, like – just betting with your friends? Is it just like you sign up for like a game and like you get a $5 game of Papa Shot going and like the winner gets it? Like, I don't know exactly how they're doing it. I kind of like the open challenge aspect of it. Are they taking a cut of this? Are they going to take a 50 cent rake?
Well, that's my point. It's like if you and I are there and we're playing skee ball, it's like, hey, let's do this for $5. Why do you have to pull them into it?
Well, I know. That's why I'm wondering. Like, if they're just going to, like, hey, you can sign up if you want to be on the gambling side and you got somebody there just.
I might be with you, Bob. This does sound really shady now.
Yeah, I just think it's complicating things for a place where you just go and, you know, either hang as adults, or you take family to, and you know, good food and TVs everywhere. But now let's add some friendly wagering on all our arcade games. I just thought it was a little too much.
At the very least, they got in the news. This is good marketing for them. We're talking about Dave and Buster's, and B at least got me one of the better laughs I've gotten from a tweet recently, as it was Paulie Walnuts photoshopped into a Dave and Buster's tone. We're making a killing at Dave and Buster's tonight. There's a kid down here who must be the Wayne Bleepin' Gretzky of air hockey. This prick don't lose. I've been getting axed on the games all night. It's a sure bleeping thing.
They show, yeah, I saw one too. It's true. There's some good stuff. There's a picture of a guy getting strangled saying, when you get in too deep betting on skee ball at Dave and Buster's. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, the memes. It was a good meme thing. It was a good meme thing. Ugh. All right, Jace, in the fourth seat, learning the podcast, the video side. What were you thinking? How was your first day?
I thought it was a good first day up to this point. Getting to learn some things that would be brand new to get to know in the studio. It's fun to get to know you and Bob and even Sam over here. It's going to be a fun summer, I would say, the least.
Were you holding resentment towards me for not giving you any mic time on day one? Were you like, I wish this guy would let me talk. I got some thoughts.
I mean, I would say I had some thoughts, but I can hold them in until I get some more airtime. But
great answer. Yeah. Great answer. I'm glad you had thoughts. I'm glad you had things you wanted to say, but also I'm glad that you didn't like just try to force your way in. That's a good green flag for you. Sometimes people just start screaming without a microphone. I'm like, please don't do that.
No, I'm content with what I have up to this point, and
there you go.
I can develop as long as we go, as long as we develop.
Love to see it. You know, I always tell people, at times it's going to be like, hey, you're going to be a bench player at first, but then eventually we're going to get you to where you're at least getting some open threes in the corner. Exactly. And you got to knock those down. And if you knock those down, maybe you get to dribble a little bit. Maybe you get to, you know, pass and get some assists. So good first job by you. Now direct all of your podcast anger, if anything's ever messed up, targeted towards Jace instead of Sam. Which it really just really drives home how bad of a job you did today, Sam, when you had a fourth person doing most of your duties and you're still messing up over there. And
what did I mess
up? You played the same commercial twice.
Well,
you
didn't give me the Tim Howard.
You didn't give me the Tim Howard news. I didn't hear the updates. Yeah, just poor job by you, and you even had extra help.
Jace, you're seeing this is the Deion Sanders part of the morning show that's going on now.
This is me getting Sam to be better. The Deion Sanders part was if I got rid of Sam and then told everyone for a year how much Sam sucked. Hey, that would be Deion Sanders. I'm trying to make you better now.
Go to the transfer portal.
If this was like a Deion Sanders thing, then John would have pulled up his statue and then posted on Twitter and be like, he would have been Lord have mercy or something like that.
Lord have mercy. Four bumpers we've heard three times this week. Lord have mercy. Mix it up with the commercials. Lord have mercy. This guy sucks. Yeah, I would have waited until you left to do it. I'm trying to coach you up while we're here. C-plus game, Sam. I need a B-minus out of you at least tomorrow. We'll do it again tomorrow. The morning show is off. The G.I. Jake Show coming up next.